Thanks, Joe. We appreciate that. This is a fun Sunday morning because we have a lot of people in here, and we have people of different heights in here, and I love that. So you that are of kind of this height, thank you for being here this morning. We have something special for you that you'll see in just a minute, but what a delight to be able to be 3 days, right? It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, however, before Christmas. To be able to meet together with the people of God on the Lord's Day. And we are in the final week of a four-week Advent series. How many of you have been for all three, and this year here the fourth week? Can I just see how many? It's not everybody, but it's quite a few of you. And by the way, they're online if you wanted to listen to some of the others. And part of the idea of Advent, and I've said this every week, is we want to take time to pause because we go too quickly into Christmas. And I don't know about you, but Kathy and I both said that this has been helpful for us to take some time pausing, reflecting, anticipating. Advent is anticipating what's to come and to spend some reflective time thinking about the significance of the Christmas event. And so we've had different weeks. The first week we started off talking about the Son, the beloved Son of God is what Advent is about. And He's a sovereign King. And He's a servant, we talked about last week. And so this week, and I think it's kind of the capstone, I think it's the pinnacle of Advent, is there's a Savior that has come into the world. That's what we're reflecting on. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. We're going to do it like we have the other, if you've been here before. The first part, there's a three-part sermon, and I'm going to do it short, believe me. It'll be shorter than the others anyway. The first part is going to be spending some time in anticipation, and we're going to look at an Old Testament text. Then the second part is going to be Advent, and I'm going to invite the children to come up here. So if you're elementary age or under, be ready. Just hang on. You'll get to come up here, and you can sit, and then we're going to kind of go through a little bit of Matthew stuff, and I'm going to work with you on that. And then the third part will be, so what do we do with that, or how do we apply it, all right? So that's what we're going to do this morning. Are you ready? Ready. I'm ready, so hopefully you are. And in the first point, the first thing we're going to talk about is anticipation and good news. There's good news, and the good news is that salvation is promised. And here's what we're going to do. And so you young people, you can help us do this as well. If you've been in Sunday school, so you probably haven't been here in our services, but all of the adults have entered into a time warp machine the last three Sundays, which has been really cool. And we've gone back 740 years before Jesus. And He was 2,000 years ago. So you can do that math, and I can't when I'm up here. 740 years. You're in the time. You're in the machine. That's the way it sounds, the machine. It's a little rusty. And as you go back in that machine, there's going to be a guy we're going to meet, and we've met him earlier. His name is Isaiah, if you say it like D.A. Carson says it, who's my favorite theologian, Isaiah. And Isaiah has a proclamation to make to his people. We've already met Isaiah, so he's not new to us, right? You're feeling kind of comfortable. You know the journey. You know, it doesn't feel quite, you don't get cramps going back in time anymore. So we're in Isaiah 52. And in Isaiah 52, and it was read so nicely by Joe, and I appreciate that, Isaiah has been prophesying in his whole book, and we've talked about it before, that judgment is coming, and it was going to come. He talked about, if you listen to the text this morning, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, they're all ancient, powerful. I mean, Israel is piddly compared to them, and they all oppressed Israel. And here's what Isaiah said. Look out, you guys have not followed the Lord, so you're going to be judged. Judgment is coming. And if that's all Isaiah said, it would be like, man, you're the gloom and doom guy. This doesn't feel very Christmassy. This doesn't feel like Advent. But you know what? You read Isaiah, and all you got to do is, it's 66 chapters. It takes you a little while to read it. And you'll see all these prophecies of doom. But there's always light. There's always hope. There's always a promise. And the promise is mentioned here. Look at verse 6 of Isaiah 52. It says, therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they who know that it is I who speak, here am I. And by the way, we've been going through John, And one of the cool things John talks about in the gospel is the I am statements, you know, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am. Well, it's very similar here, right? Here I am. I am. Got to get the young people to say, I am. And then here's what he says. Look at verse 7. We're going to go through it really quickly, but I hope you get encouraged with this. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Beautiful feet. You know, the picture there is a mountain. And in the ancient Near East, if you wanted to make a proclamation to people, you would go up to a high point. And the mountain is more of a metaphor. You'd go to a high point and you'd say, hey, I've got an announcement to make. I've got something to tell you. And it could be a bad announcement. It could be, look out, there's trouble coming. In this case, this person that's on this mountain, which, by the way, later on, it's probably could be figuratively Mount Zion, has got feet. You know what feet are? Feet are, if you go down to the bottomest part of your body, you've got feet. That's these. Now, feet are the things that take you places, right? You go on your feet. Well, beautiful feet, I mean, how many have beautiful feet in this? There we go. There we go. Yeah, she does. I bet she probably does. I'm not claiming that I got beautiful feet, but it's a metaphor. It's a word picture. It's a word picture that this beautifully footed person goes up to a mountain and has a proclamation, and his proclamation is, and here's the way it's described, good news. Good news. Not bad news. Good news. Isaiah had done enough bad news stuff, so let's get somebody in this Advent season to step up and give us good news. And look at the good news. There's at least four parts to this good news that's in this text. And listen to the word of God. It says, who publishes peace. And the publishing doesn't mean it's like he publishes a newspaper. He's a proclaimer of. He said, my good news is peace. The Hebrew word for peace, and I've mentioned this before because it comes out in Christmas, is the word shalom. So any of you guys in elementary, can you say shalom with me? Would you say shalom? Shalom. Could you say it again? Shalom. If you're in elementary school, say it one more time. Shalom. Hopefully you're going to be louder when you're up here. Shalom. Here's what shalom means. We translate it peace. I wish we had an English word that could bring out the depth of shalom, because shalom doesn't just mean don't hit somebody. I remember when I was growing up, the Vietnam War was on, and they used to, at Christmas, they would have a ceasefire, you know, and they would quit. And I haven't thought, so if you could have a ceasefire for one day, why not have it for 2 days? Why not? How about all year long? I mean, that's a novel idea. If you can agree to not do it one day, why not do it where you don't shoot at all ever? How about that? That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? That would be really cool. But shalom is more than just don't shoot somebody. Shalom is everything is put, the way the British say it, is put to rights. The world, it isn't just you quit hitting people, but everybody is living like they're supposed to live. It's like, it's this full, fresh glory of a world the way it was intended to be in creation. And this person with these beautiful feet on the mountain is saying, I got good news. Here's the good news. There's peace, shalom. And then the next thing is, who brings good news of happiness? Happy, happy, happy. We bought peanut butter for a couple of our kids. And what was it called? It's like Be Happy Peanut Butter. Have you ever had Be Happy Peanut Butter? It costs too much money, but it tastes really good. It's like it has all kinds of really healthy things in it, like chocolate and peanut butter and all that stuff. And it's like it says, don't put it on bread, just eat it straight. And you know what? The first time I said, that's crazy. But happiness, as a matter of fact, the word happy in the original means good. It's good news of good. So peace is everything is made or put to rights. And good is, and it flourishes. It just prospers. It's glorious. It's kind of like Kathy has this little cactus thing that sits in his. And it's kind of crazy because it just starts growing and then it grows a little appendage to the other part of it. And if you're into cactus, it's just like it's fresh, it's alive, it's flourishing. Here's the promise. Here's good news. not only is there not going to be fighting, the world's going to be put to right, and there's going to be flourishing, and it's going to be good. And then look at the next thing, who publishes peace, brings good news of happiness, and publishes or brings salvation. Now here's the problem. If you want shalom, and if you want goodness, and you live in a fallen world, something's got to get fixed. Something's broken. And Isaiah had been talking about it. Sin had come into the world and it marred this beautiful creation of shalom and of goodness. And we need salvation. And the promise is this. The good news of these good news, good feet people, you know, this guy is making a proclamation of good news that there's not only going to be peace and prosperity and goodness, but there's going to be salvation. And then the fourth reality is this, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That the assurance that this salvation is actually going to stick and actually going to happen is because there's a king on Zion who's going to rule, and he's going to make sure and ensure and enforce the reality and the beauty of what was intended in the world. And I'm here to tell you, 3 days before Christmas, there's no better news than that. So you know what? You ought to sing a song. Go tell it on the mountain. I don't sing very well. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that there's shalom, there's goodness, there's salvation, and there's a king. And that's a promise from the God who assures that when he makes a promise, he's going to keep his promise. So I ask this question, what do I do with that? And the answer is this. On this Advent, and we're just about to be done with Advent, and Christmas is coming. You, if you're a believer in the God of the universe and in his Son, Jesus Christ, you know what? He's promised that he's going to bring salvation to the world, and that he's going to make wrongs right, and that he's going to do away with the evil effects of the world, things like sickness, things like anxiety, things like governments that are so in disarray that presidents get impeached. I mean, that's what kind of world do we live in? You know, as you come to Christmas, don't you sometimes say, this world is gone crazy? I mean, there's a good biblical word. The fact is this. There's a proclamation. It's a proclamation of good news. And that good news is a promise, and you can trust that that promise will come to pass. So, that takes us to the second point in our sermon. And we're going to scream ahead. So we've been back 740. I don't know which side the 740 years is on, so probably on the wrong side. We're going to come ahead 740 years, and here's what I would like. If you're in elementary school or younger, would you come up here and just sit? Would you? Because I want to talk to you for the next 10 minutes or so. So if you come right here, and my lovely assistants here are going to help kind of organize us. So come on forward. Be brave. Be bold. I've actually got a present for you at the end. There you go. That got him out of the... You guys ready? All right. Yes. All right, so I need some help. These guys look like they're helpers. Who's the biggest person here, or kind of the strongest? He looks pretty big and pretty strong. So do you. I'll use you for something else. So here's what we've got. I need somebody to be in. Can you tell me, adults that aren't up there? Angel. You know what angels are like in the Bible? Angels are not wimpy little things. They are big, strong. I mean, they are. When you look at them, they're more like football players. Well, here was, you said you could be the angel, and when I call on you, you don't have to say anything, you just have to hold it up. Can you practice that? Hold it up. If I said angel, there you go. See that? There we go. All right, the second one is Joseph. So we probably need a Joseph. Is there a guy? Is anybody named Joseph? Do we have a big enough guy here? Who else? What other guys? Boy, we got a lot of girls here. Would you be willing to be Joseph? All right, you can hang on to that. Then the last one is Mary. Man, we've got a whole bunch of Marys. Somebody pick a Mary. I can't, because then I'm in trouble. You're pointing here to her. Okay. There you go. I'm sorry. And I should say you. I tell you what. Can we divide Mary in half? No? All right. We won't. I'll give you this and pretend like Mary's on it. You know? That way we got two Marys. We can have more than 2 minutes. All right. Thanks for working with me, guys. You guys are really, really good. So here's what we've done. We were talking to Isaiah, and then we go ahead 700, that's older than your parents, 740 years, and we come to this story that most of you have heard before, and the story says the birth of Jesus was like this. You guys listening? By the way, there's one other group, and that is that everyone should have one, that we have Angel, Mary, Joseph, and then we got this, which is people. And all those that are people, would you raise your people faces? All right, the people, you didn't get one? Oh, we're short? Oh, there you go. Here you go. All right, all the people, raise your hand, people. Good. Mary, raise your hand, two Marys. All right. Angel, raise your sign. There you go. And Joseph, raise your, there you go. All right, everybody, we got it now, right? We got all, these are the characters that are in the text, and it's in Matthew's text. And here's the way it goes. Are you guys listening? All right, put them down, because I'm going to call on you in just a minute. So when Jesus was born, Joseph, could you raise yours? Joseph was engaged to Mary. He was going to marry Mary. Mary, could you put up your thing? Joseph was going to marry Mary. You don't have to marry them, literally, but that was what was happening to the story. And then you can put it down. And then they found out that Mary was going to have a baby. You guys know this story, right? And Mary was going to, you guys know that story? Mary's going to have a baby. And Joseph said, now, what do I do? I don't know, right? Joseph, that's what you thought. What do I do? Thank you for agreeing with that. Yeah. And so then it says in verse 20, and as he considered these things, Joseph was saying, Mary's going to have a baby. I'm not sure what to do. Then an angel came. Where's the angel? See that angel? The angel was no wimpy little angel. He was a big guy. Thank you. And the angel appeared to Joseph. Can you put your Joseph up? In a dream. And by the way, angels don't usually appear to you in a dream, so don't worry about that. It's probably not going to happen now. But it did happen back then. And said to him, Joseph, thank you, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary. Can you Mary's put up your, yeah, thank you, as your wife. So you can have her as your wife. That's a good thing. And says, because that baby that's inside of Mary came from God. It's from the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this verse. Is everybody listening? You guys are doing such a good job up here. Here's what he said. She will bring forth a son. Mary will bring forth a son. You're going to have a baby. It's going to be a boy. It's going to be a little boy. And you're going to call his name. What was his name going to be? Jesus. Can you say that a little louder? Jesus. Thank you. That is the right answer in Sunday school to almost every question. Well done. You'll call his name Jesus. I have a friend. Does anybody have a friend that you know whose name? Oh, you've got friends? Yeah, so do I. Does anybody have a friend whose name is Jesus? Do you have a friend named Jesus? I mean, a real person, real. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. You know what day he was born? He's 40 years old. He was born December 25th, 40 years ago, in Mexico. And his mom and dad said, wow, if you're born on Christmas, we're going to call you Jesus. That's the Spanish name for Jesus. And it means Savior. And so this angel said, where's the angel? The angel said that you will bear a son and his name will be called Jesus. And then there's three words I want you to remember this Christmas. His name will be called Jesus. He will save his people. Anyone that has a people sign, put your people sign up. People, all the people signs. There you go. Save his people from their sin. So the message of Christmas, and by the way, it's a good message. It's an announced message. The angel had beautiful feet. You see that angel? His feet were beautiful because he was proclaiming, there's one born who saves because we need to be saved. And each one of you guys, you know, you look really cute. I mean, the girls especially. I love your dresses, and I love your whatever else you have on. They're all very beautiful. But do you know you're all, every one of you has sinned. Is that right? And by sin, it means that you've done things wrong. Like maybe you've lied. Maybe you've not obeyed your parents. You've done all those. And you need someone to save you. And he'll save you from your sin. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what Isaiah promised in the Old Testament, and that's what is available to all you. So all of you that are people, raise your people sign up again. You got your people sign up? Everybody's got their people sign? Good, thank you. Every one of you with a people sign could be saved from your sin. And who is it that would save you from your sin?
Jesus.
Say it one more time.
Jesus.
Say it one more time.
Jesus.
Jesus saves people from your sin. So here's the question I have for you, for each one of you, and I'm going to let your parents and the older people out there have the same question asked to them. Jesus was promised many years ago. Jesus came to save people from their sin. And the question is, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior from your sin? And that's a question for all of you. And you ought to think about that, talk to your parents about it, talk to Pastor Ben or me, or talk to our lovely assistants here. And you ought to, this Christmas, if you're old enough to understand what I'm talking about, there's no better news, there's no greater reality than that Jesus saves sinners. He came into the world to save people from their sin. So, Angel, good job. Joseph, well done, buddy. Where's Joseph? There he is. Well done. Marys, thank you. All you people, thank you. And the good news is this, that Jesus saves people from their sin. And so we have, you guys can take this home and put it on your Christmas tree if you have one. And if you don't have a Christmas tree, then put it on your bedside. And everybody gets one of these, which is a little cross. Is that cool? I mean, like, what better Christmas gift could you get? The greatest gift you'll ever get will be coming to faith in Jesus. And I pray that for all the young people in our church. And don't you? And so as they go back, thanks for coming up here. You guys did a great job. Get your cross, go back to your parents, and then we'll do point three in our sermon. Thank you, Mr. Angel and Mary. You guys can have those. Make sure everybody gets a cross. There you go, buddy. You got a Christmas tree? Good for you. Yeah. Good job, Zachary. And you too, Ellie. Good to see you. All right. So, was that fun? I mean, for me, it was fun. I don't know how much they totally listen to me, but that's all right. And I'm a grandparent, so I have a heart for children. And I had children too. That's how I got to get grand. It's just one of those things. And I remember when my three children trusted in Jesus, and it was like the best day, other than the day when I trusted Jesus, of my life. And then I've had four grandkids that have called because their parents told them to call me and say, hey, I've trusted Jesus. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what you think is a big deal in the world. Whatever you think a big deal in the world is, here's what the big deal in the world is, and that is what Isaiah prophesied in the Old Testament and what came true in Jesus, that you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Save sin, his people. And his people are those. It's not everybody. Matter of fact, that little word his in front of people, it's the ones who have put their trust in him. It's not a universal, everybody's going to be saved, that some people try to proclaim. It's the ones whose faith and trust is put in Jesus. And that's the proclamation of that angel, who I think was somewhat of a fulfillment of Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those that bear good news. And it's also the challenge of the people of God to be proclaimers of the best news. And, you know, we're taking off to visit our grandkids and kids the next couple of days. And we got a bunch of gifts and a bunch of presents. And the best possible present that you could either receive yourself or that you could give to someone is the present of the reality of Jesus, who brings shalom, he brings peace, he brings goodness and flourishing, he brings salvation, and he's the king. And I would commend that to you. As a matter of fact, if you're here this morning, it's neat to see a lot of people here. And I hope Christmas is like a happy season for you, but I can tell you how you'll actually flourish. And that is if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And if you've never done that, I'm going to be up here. Ben will be here. There are people that would love to talk to you after the service about how you could come to faith in Christ. And I would say, don't miss, don't go into another Christmas without knowing Jesus as your Savior. And I would say that to you young people as well. I think sometimes we downplay the significance of young people coming to faith in Christ. And I'm so glad for the people that work with our young people that are got a little bit of a break this week to bring them in here this morning. But we ought to be praying that what goes on down in that hall, that there's going to be young people that come to Christ because they've come to our church. And we ought to pray to that end. All right, the third point. We're going to scream ahead. We're going to get back in our time machine, except I'm not sure how far in the future to go. Because I don't know what it's in Revelation 7. So if you have your Bibles and you want to, it's the last book of the Bible. And I don't know when Revelation 7 is going to happen. But I think it's in some way it's kind of happening now, but it's going to be fully realized somewhere in the future. And here's the so what. And this is like the Christmas gift I would like to give to this assembly of God's people. And it's in Revelation 7. And I forgot to have the reader read, didn't I? Wow. I am sorry about that. You're okay? Yeah. I would have you read this Revelation text, but you're not ready for it, so that's not fair, is it? I was supposed to have Tori read. Matthew, will you forgive me for that? I'm sorry. That's a major. Can you read the Revelation one without having practiced it? Come on up. This is our reader. I'm confident she can do it. Revelation 7. I know. Thank you for being patient. Yeah. Revelation 7. Are you there? In your Bible?
Yep.
Read verses 9 through 11.
Okay. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders...
That's good. That's
okay.
Good.
That's
so
it.
This is the word. Thank you. This is the word of the Lord, to which the people respond, thanks be to God. Thank you. That man, did she read that really well? How many of you could have come up here and done that? And I'm pretty sure not too many of you. And this is a picture of Christmas future, right? I mean, it's... One of the beauties of Advent is, and we tend to be people who look in the rearview mirror and see Jesus born 2,000 years ago, and you should. But Advent forces you to look ahead and say, I don't know how many years ahead, but someday something like this is going to happen. And on some level, it's already kind of happening, but it's going to happen in its fullness. Look at verse 9 of Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number. That means it's innumerable. Like, that just blows me away. I love that. You wonder how many people are going to be in heaven? I don't know, but there's a lot. They're from every nation, tribe, people, languages. They're from India. They're from Hungary. They're from Togo. They're from Greenwood. Praise God, there's going to be some Greenwoodites there. They're from all over the world. There's an incredible diversity, which is one of the reasons I have a heart that God in His grace might bring us more people that look a little bit different than us to come together and worship. They're going to be standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They're clothed in white robes. That's a figure of, we've trusted in You, Jesus. You're our Savior. With white robes and palm branches on their hands, and they're crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God." So that's, by the way, is it up there? Yeah. You see where? See the quotes there? Would you guys, have been really a good, you've done a great job this morning. Would you read with me that section in quotes? It says, "Salvation belongs," as the congregation of the, here's what we're doing. We're practicing for Christmas too. because when it comes, you want to be ready. Like, okay, I know the words to the song. Here's the song. Ready? Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And I say, amen and amen, don't you? I can't wait for that day. That's what we're anticipating. That's what we're waiting for, that second advent when it's going to come. And then look what happens after that. And all the angels, I got to believe our angel here. Where is the angel? Do you still out there? Did you put up your angel? I got the angel sign. He may be one of them. They were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their face and they said, amen, which means faithful, it means true. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and might and power be to our God forever and ever and ever. You know how long? Ever and ever and ever. It's like the full reality of a God who promises shalom and peace, a God who says it's going to be good, a God who brings salvation, it's going to be forever. And I say, you know what you say at the end of the book of Revelation? Even so, Lord, come quickly, Lord. Finish what you've started. Complete it, complete it, complete it. And God's going to complete it. And so the people of God, that's us, we get to spend our lives until that day worshiping him. In 2020, College Park Greenwood, we want to be a congregation. If God doesn't come back between now and 2020, which, you know, do you hope he comes back before that? Or would you say, well, I'd rather you waited until after I got married or until after I got my new Lexus. That day's never coming. Until after I, and you could fill in the blank with all those things that, Lord, I want you to come back, but just wait a little while. Man, if you knew what it meant that the Lord was returning, you would say, Lord, come quickly. And that's not an escape statement. It's a completion statement. It's finish it, Lord. You've started it. You promise you're going to finish, and you are going to. And so here we go. We're waiting, but the waiting church is a church that's not passive but active. The waiting church is a church that says we're going to worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the outflow of that worship is going to start to ooze out into these houses in the neighborhood. And it's going to ooze out to countries around the world. And your glory is going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea. And it's going to do it forever and ever and ever. And I say, even so, Lord, come quickly. And may I be a part of that. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, if I were you, I wouldn't be praying, Lord, come quickly. I would quickly come to the Lord, right? And trust and put your faith and trust in him.